Jeremiah chapter 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." And that's where we'll stop reading right there. Really good scripture. I hope that I can get where the Lord needs me to be so that I could say something that will be a help and a blessing to you. Listen to that fourth verse again. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to make to the potter to make it. All right. If we had a text or a thought, I guess you could say that it would be molded. And we all have plans, don't we? We got goals, things we want to do, things we want to accomplish. And but God may have other plans for us. And I'll just start with Brother Bobby. I don't think he'll mind at all. Back in the fall and before we had the pageant, he had plans that he was going to go out and sing for the Lord at different churches and different services and things like that. But that wasn't what God had in mind for him. And who knows why the sickness that he had fell on him. But God had a way, I'm sure, of getting honor and getting glory out of it and healing him where he can be back singing again. You see, folks, we can go all the way back to Adam, back to when the Lord in Genesis, and I guess I've mentioned this before, and we read where that the Lord spoke everything into existence. What a God that all he had to do is speak. Preacher, that's a good story in Genesis, how that he made the earth, how that he spoke the sun and the moon into existence, how that he created the beast of the field and the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea. Let me let you in on a little secret. He's still speaking.
Amen.
And all he has to do is speak the word and miracles happen. Now let's go on. He looked over everything and he said it was good. Did you know everything God makes is good? Now you remember that statement because you just said amen to it. Let's go on to what he made next. When it came down to man, he didn't just speak it into existence. But he picked up a handful of dust. Yes. He put his hands in that dust. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he molded it. And he made it in his image and in his likeness. And I remember a song that Brother Steve Gossett used to sing, "Just Like You." Lord, I want to be just like you. You know what that's going to take for me to be just like him? I'm going to need his hand.
Amen.
I'm going to need to be molded.
Yep.
I'm going to need him to put his hands on my life and make me in his image and in his likeness. And you've heard me make the statement. We see the picture, the painting of the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. And it's got the picture of God's finger and Adam's finger. And they're touching. And that was Michelangelo's concept of how God created Adam. I'm going to disagree with that.
Yeah.
God put his hands on us. God put his hands on us. God put his hands on us.
Amen.
And guess what? He still got his hands on us. We may think we have plans. We may think, I'll do this or I'll do that. Or in 5 years, I was talking, John noticed the vehicle I was driving. I said, well, that commits me to work in another 5 years. That's my plan. That may not be God's plan. But whatever he needs to mold and make and shape me to get honor and glory out of my life, that's what I want.
Amen.
I want him. I want to be just like him. I want to lift up his name. I want to do his will. And friend, let me tell you something. Now let's go back to the scripture for just a minute. We read about, it said that he made a vessel. That the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Did you know at one time we were all marred?
Amen.
What causes that? What causes this vessel to be marred, to be unacceptable, to be a vessel of dishonor, to be a vessel that's not fit for God to use? Well, let's look into the New Testament for just a minute. Over there it says that when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. You know what causes separation between us and God? Sin does. And when we have sin in this vessel of clay, it begins to get marred. It becomes unacceptable. There's a separation, and we're not complete. We're not what God intended for us to be whenever there is sin in our lives. There was a day whenever I was a little boy, a child, that I was perfect as far as God was concerned. I didn't know what sin was. That you also had that day as well. There was a day when you were innocent, a day that if death had found you before you realized the difference between good and evil, you'd have left this world and you'd have found your place in heaven. But there also came a day when I came to the knowledge of good and evil, when I realized that I was a sinner. And I've got to tell that again. I know you regulars have heard it. Well, get ready for another one. So here I was, the strange pew at Rankin, the third pew back, and the service was going well on a Sunday night, and the power of God was in the house. And I'm so glad that our young people know what the power of God is. Amen. Are we blessed at Dutch Bottom?
Amen.
I appreciate what we got to see Thursday night in Bible school. Saw four precious souls saved and the power of God on the altar. I appreciate what we saw Sunday night. These young folks sang it and the power of God fell and blessed. You are so privileged and so blessed to see the power of God move amongst his people in the house.
Amen.
We've got generations that's never witnessed that.
That's right. That's right.
And so the power of God was moving and they called for the church. Remember these days? They called for the church to all come up on the altar. And here I was, and you know how us Baptists are. We're good at playing ring around a rosy. We come up and we'll shake. So here I went, like I had done 1,000 times before, raised in church. And as far as being morally okay, I was. As far as being a good boy, I was. And I was innocent when I got up off the pew and started up the aisle and came around the corner to the front pew. And there stood men I'd been in church with all my life. Brother J.P. Blazer was the Sunday school superintendent. And I shook his hand and I looked up at him and his countenance had changed. Tears were rolling down his cheeks, but he had a smile on his face. went on down the pew, and there was Brother Jack Strange. Preacher Jack Strange, some of you may remember him. He's my great uncle. I looked up at him, and he was a great big man. And I looked up at him, and his face was just different. There was something about it. And tears rolling down his face. He had his hand raised. Oh, went on down the pew, and there was Tom Ball, lived down near the church. And I shook his hand and looked at his face. He had a smile on his face. Something just looked different than he did out in the parking lot. And went on down the pew. And old man Artie Chapman that lived out in the curve out here before you get to Rankin. A good godly man. And I looked up and he was crying and smiling. And from that end of the pew to this end of the pew, I became a sinner in the government of God. Because I realized in those four or five steps that they had something I did not have. And now, did I get saved during that service? No, I didn't. I took that home and I laid down. Mom and Dad put me to bed. I got to tell it again, Marty. I hope you don't mind. Mom and Dad put us to bed, and we were taught whenever you went to bed, you were supposed to stay there until you got up the next morning. And I lay there and I could not go to sleep. Fear on the inside of me. I had heard the preacher preach about how that you had to be born again. I had heard him preach on hell. I know that's a foreign concept in this day and age, but it's still burning, and it's just as real as the pew that you're sitting on tonight. And people are slipping right off into there, and our church folks today seem like could care less. It's my family and your family in peril, in danger, and the only hope they got is the church of the living God.
Amen.
Scared to death. It seemed like the longer I laid there, I could just see the flames coming up over the edge of the bed. And I knew if I went to sleep and I didn't wake up, that I'd be in hell. But then a voice spoke to me. And it didn't come in this ear or this ear. It came in here.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. He said, why don't you just go and wake your daddy up and tell him that you want to be saved. And I eased up, went to Mom and Dad's bedroom, and I touched Dad on the shoulder. And I said, Dad, would you pray with me? I want to be saved. If I'd have said I need a dime for school tomorrow, he said, you go get back to bed. If I'd have said the lightning's flashing, Dad, and I'm afraid, he'd have said, you go back to bed. Mm-hmm. But when I told him I wanted to be saved, he said, come on, let's pray.
Amen.
He got down on one side. Bob got down on the other. I know this ain't scriptural, but I was telling you like Paul told his folks. I can tell you what happened to me because I was there when it happened.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Mom and Dad knelt down on either side of me, and I didn't know how to pray. And guess what? I still don't.
Bless you, Lord.
For we know not what we ought to say, except the Spirit.
That's right.
Give us utterance.
Amen.
I just said, Jesus, please save me. Yeah. Over and over and over. And about the fourth or fifth time, I just knew I didn't want to go to hell, John. I didn't think a thing about the streets of gold. I'm sure I had heard that.
Yeah.
Or the gates of pearl and the walls of jasper. Or heaven. That didn't even cross my mind. I just didn't want to die lost and burn for eternity. And friend, you know what happened to me? But from this end of the pew to this end of the pew, that vessel that God made, and yes, I'm going to say he did, I'm going to tell you something. There's never been a baby born that was an accident. Did you know that?
Amen.
God planned for all of them. I believe it's a verse over in Jeremiah that says he had plans for you before you were ever born. I'm here to tell you today, the vessel that he made, the back strange clay, flesh and blood, dust vessel, from this end of the pew to this end of the pew, became born. I became a sinner in the government of God. If you're here lost and undone without God, your vessel is born. But I've got good news for you. If you'll make your way down to the potter, we can make you a new vessel. He can take the sin away. He can put it back together. It might be shattered and broken in a million pieces, but I'm here to tell you today, Jesus can make you clean.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
And it's a choice you make. Amen. Let me just make that abundantly clear. My daddy couldn't save me. My mama couldn't save me. I had to take that broken vessel to the potter and let him remake it. That's the reason that Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. I got a birth certificate. Mom gave it to me. She didn't trust me until I was 40 with her. She gave it to me when I was 40 years old, and it was old. It was that green paper, and it had some water stains on it. It told that J.D. Strange was my father, and Patsy Strange was my mother. And I've still got it laid up over there. But one night when I was an 8-year-old boy, that's when I was bored. When I was an 8-year-old boy, down on my knees, afraid of dying and going to hell,
amen,
I asked Jesus to save me.
Amen.
On that night, I got born again.
Amen.
That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel on! Then I say unto thee, you must be. Did you hear that?
Yes.
It's not a Presbyterian thing. It's not a Baptist thing. It's not a Church of God thing. Jesus personally told you and I and everyone that's ever drawn a breath, you must be born again.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Not a denominational thing.
Amen.
You must be saved.
Amen.
All right. He can take that vessel that's marred and make one that's presentable. Make one that's acceptable. Make one that he can use. Does it make a difference, preacher? Yes, it surely does.
Yes.
And I've made this analogy before. So.
Help him, Lord.
Now, Tammy wouldn't say this. That's my wife. But she can cook. She's a pretty good cook. And if I invited you to my house and she made something for dinner, and the aroma might smell great to you, it might just get you to the point that you're so hungry you just can't hardly wait. And you come to the table and she sets your plate down in front of you, and on the edge of the plate is something that looks like the plate has been used before. Looks like there might be something dried or something that the plate just wasn't really made good and clean, you'd have second thoughts about eating what was on the plate, wouldn't you? How do we expect the Lord to use us if our vessel is unclean?
That's
right. Yeah. He can only use a clean vessel. Now, he cleaned me up when he saved me.
Bless the Lord.
So, if I get a stain on the vessel
It's up to me to see to it that it gets clean.
Yes, sir.
How can I do that? It starts with the first message Jesus ever preached. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen.
We can talk about rocket science. We can talk about football games. We can talk about the submarine that's lost. We can talk about the weather. But the hardest thing for a man, woman, boy, or girl to say is, I'm sorry. The hardest thing for some of us to admit is to admit that we were wrong. The hardest words for us to say is, forgive me. I've done you wrong. You may have done it through ignorance, or you may have done it by mistake. But I'm here to tell you, if you want a clean vessel, you will repent. Is that right, Miss Greg?
That's right.
All right. Even Job. You know what God said about Job, don't you? And I'll be done if you'll give me another 7 minutes. Even Job. God said he was a perfect and an upright man. A man that feareth God and escheweth evil. God had confidence in Job. I'm afraid he can't always say that about me. But God had confidence in Job. And you know what Job had to say about himself? He said he was made of the clay. You see, there is a fault by design in this clay. And the only thing that can fix that fault is the potter.
Yes.
He's the only one.
Thank you.
And I'm glad. You pray on.
Bless you, Lord.
Give me another 6 minutes. And I'm glad that we have the things that we have today. Counseling and medication and things like that. Let me tell you, and I know we've got programs and things of that nature.
Helping God.
You know what can cure the addict? You know what can take away the desire for the alcohol and things like that? Jesus can.
Amen.
Jesus can.
Amen.
He can take that marred and broken vessel.
Yes.
Put his hands on it. What a change that he can make. Oh, you may be hearing me broken. I'm telling you, Jesus can make all the difference. And so we read about how Jesus came down with his disciples and he met a man that was blind from birth. Do you remember him? And the disciples said, who has sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? And Jesus said, neither, but that the glory of God should be revealed. Sometimes we don't always understand the trial. Sometimes we don't always understand the burden. But if God can get the glory for it, help me, Lord, to walk and be just like you.
Amen.
And Jesus' reply is, I must work while it is day, for night cometh when no man can work. I must do the work that the Father sent me to do. And when he had thus said, he went right up to the blind man. Now listen, he was blind. He wasn't dumb. He was blind. He wasn't stupid. Most of our folks today would have had too much pride to allow a man to spit in the dust and make spittle and then take that and put it on their eyes. You know how you react. But he was humble enough to let Jesus touch him. Don't stand off in your pride and say, I'll fix this. Don't. When the Lord comes knocking, Say, God, I got it. I'll take care of it. Lay your pride down. And let Jesus touch you. Lay your pride down and let him finger in the dust. Lay your pride down, and if you'll do what he'd have you to do, you can be healed as well. Now, we know the story of the blind man. I'm not going to preach all that out, but I am going to say this. The Pharisees didn't like it. They were going to bring the man's parents in. He said, he's of age, I see him. They said, tell us, who's done this? And he said, why, here's a miraculous thing. That you know not who he is, and yet he's touched my eyes that I can see. And they got angry. Listen, we've let tradition eat us up in our day, in this day and age, and we've ruled out letting the Lord have his way in some places. I'm here to tell you today, if it's not God's way, it's wrong. So they got angry and they threw him out of the temple. He went from the mountain to the valley. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew? I believe he said something about he wouldn't depart from us, didn't he? He said, for lo, I'm with you always. Even to the end of the world.
Yes.
Oh, for the first time in his life, he could see. Mm-hmm. And he saw a lot better than the Pharisees did. But they took it on themselves to throw him out of the temple. He went from the mountain to the valley in just a few hours. But you know who was still there? Jesus was.
Amen.
And Jesus said, do you know him that should come? And the blind man said, who is he? He's not blind anymore, by the way. He said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? He said, it is he who you see.
Amen.
He said, Lord, I believe.
Amen.
If you think restoring his vision was a miracle, what happened to him right then was a greater miracle.
Amen.
He got saved.
Amen.
By the grace of God. Now, I've got some friends. We used to go with them to church years ago. They sung a song. And the title of the song was, There's a Miracle in Me. You see, what happened to me when I was 8 years old, the preacher couldn't do.
That's right.
I've told you about my Sunday school teacher. She couldn't save me. My mom and dad couldn't save me. All the fine folks that I went to church with me couldn't do the saving. But a miracle happened. The Lord saved my soul.
Amen.
Yes.
He washed my sins away.
Thank you, Lord.
He made a way of escape for me. He pardoned me.
Thank you, Lord.
Becky sings a song, and this happened to me on that night. I am redeemed.
Amen.
I'm saved. I got born again. Now, I've been privileged and blessed to have a lot of things happen to me along my way. We brought three precious children into this world. I got to see them be born. I held them in my arms. We've got a little grandbaby I'm going to go see here in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
It's a blessing.
Yes.
Got married to a woman that loves me. Sometimes I don't know how, but she does.
Yes. Bless
you, Lord. The Lord blessed me to get a decent education. Yes. He saved me. And he gave me a good church to go to where people love me. I'm blessed. But above all that,
bless him, Lord.
The miracle that happened in my life when I was 8 years old is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
Is that the best thing that ever happened to you?
Amen.
It's good to be saved, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
John, you didn't know about that trip, did you? I didn't tell you, did I?
Bless him, Lord.
But I don't think this is the first time you've heard me tell about being saved. You see, that's the best thing.
Right.
That truck will wear out. It'll break down. As a matter of fact, we hadn't had it much more than a week, and Tammy ran over something in the road on the interstate and had a flat. It was already flawed. But the salvation I got whenever I was an 8-year-old boy is still perfect.
Amen.
I can't mess it up. It fits perfect.
Amen.
It's not threadbare. If I grow, it grows with me. It's sealed. I can't lose it. I can't mess it up. What God gave me is still good today.
Amen.
And when I die, it'll still be good.
Amen.
And I know the Bible says time shall be no more. But in men's years, they used to sing this song, you know what I'm talking about, the first million years in glory. We won't keep time, I know that. But after that, when I got as a 8-year-old boy, we'll still be good. That's what's going to get me there. By grace through faith, you're saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. See, I don't have anything to boast about except the salvation Jesus gave me.
Amen.
Amen. I was marred, but the potter kept molding. Remember the little song the boys and girls used to sing? He's still working on me. Now, I don't have to worry about losing that salvation. But I'm still clay. I'm still dust.
Yeah.
I'm still flesh. Mm-hmm. And I may, in a moment of anger, say something I shouldn't say. Have you ever done that?
Mm-hmm.
I may, in a moment of weakness, yield to temptation. Have you ever done that?
Amen.
So when I do that, I've got to go back to the potter and say, Lord, put your hands on me one more time. Lord, I'm born again. Put your hands on me. Make me something that you can use.
Oh. Bless the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
But one day, I get to lay this down. It doesn't go the soul. What goes?
Yeah.
All right.